This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
I am going to be dead honest with you right now. I am feeling angsty today.
About what?
Everything. Everything. Not everything. You know, Christy's great. Kids are good. You know,
good.
Life's good. There's food on the table. But like,
right.
Everything. Sports. First of all, the Dodgers are in the World Series. I don't like that.
Hosting.
I don't like that. Then I arrive at work and there is a large man in a Cowboys jersey greeting me. I don't like that. I love him,
yeah,
but I don't like that. Like he was like, "Are you mad?" I would go, "I'm not mad at your jersey. I just don't like it. It brings about when I see a Cowboy jersey or that stupid star, it brings out an emotional reaction to me. It tightens my shoulders." And the 49ers, who are a billion times better than the Dallas Cowboys, have to win. They have got to win this game. And we were all talking this out within the last hour, and here's how Grandy sort of pitched it to me in one thought, and I accepted it, so I'll share it. They lose this game, the alarms go off.
What alarms?
12 alarm fire alarms.
No, but which alarms? Because there are different alarms.
I only use the one on my iPhone.
Well,
that's the only one that I have.
There's the fire Kyle alarm.
No.
There's the, like, don't bring Christian back because the season's over alarm. There's the, like, you know, fire the special teams coordinator alarm. There's the fire the DC alarm. There are alarms.
I'm not trying to fire people here.
But I want to know what the alarm is.
We have a major, major problem, and I think it's likely they're going to miss the playoffs. Kind of an alarm.
Wow.
That's the alarm that will go off if they lose this football game. They can't lose this football game. This team is awful that they're playing.
Yeah, three and three. You are what your record says you are.
And you know that I hate that statement.
It's funny, and I'm only saying that because they're 3-3, and they probably should be 2-4, maybe 1-5, and the Niners are 3-4, and they should be 5-2. So, yeah, you are what your record says you are, but when you look at these teams, they're more than a half game. Like, they're a half game worse than Dallas in the standings, and they're probably two games better than Dallas. They should be.
The 49ers are in last place in the West, and we all damn know they're the best team in the division. Like, I mean, yeah. I feel that way. Like, I just, it's not so much that you aren't what your record says you are, because that's what governs what happens next. So you are what your record says you are, but there's context to all of that. And it is a week-to-week league. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we're all a joke for losing to the Rams, but it's okay that you lost to the Vikings. Well, the Rams beat the Vikings last night. So what does that mean? I'll tell you, nothing. It means nothing. This is all circumstantial all the time. It's week to week. It's styles makes fights. It's all of those things. So I don't care that the Cowboys are 3-3. They could be 1-5 or 5-1. I watch the games, and they offer nothing to the opponent. The Cowboys literally have nothing that they do well. And that's not me being Niner fan arrogant. Kurt Warner said the exact same thing to us yesterday. They don't do anything well. Absolutely nothing. So you cannot lose this game. The alarms go off if you lose this game.
Yeah.
That's all.
I mean, the alarms are already off, in my opinion.
Okay,
like,
and that's
at
fair.
3-4.
That's fair.
The fact that you've blown two games and, you know, Kansas City came in here and handled you, the alarms are already going off. And so even if you win this, yeah, the alarms are sounding. And I looked at David Lombardi's Twitter earlier and his tweet about their record before the bye and after the bye over the last 3 years is remarkable. And they've been mediocre. They're 500 before the bye, and they're amazing after the bye. So I do believe that that still holds as a chance for Kyle to adjust and, you know, make the adjustments based on whatever roster they have going forward. No Ayuk. Debo, I'm guessing, will play. I know that, you know, today was...
questionable tag for Debo and Kittle, but yeah, right. I think they're probably...
they're probably both going to be up, and, you know, Pearsall gets a chance to step up, and Mason's going to be up, so... yeah, for me, there's no excuses about injuries going into this game.
No, I'm with you, unless, of course, we wake up Sunday morning, and or I guess it would be Sunday night by the time it matters, and a bunch of people that are a big part of the game plan, you know, come up with pneumonia. So,
right.
You know what I mean? I'm with you if the players that are a part of the game plan end up playing in the game. If that happens, then sure, no excuses. And by the way, this is just sort of the way I feel like we get a little bit too focused on that word. I don't know why that has to always be where we go after a 49er game or any game for
excuses?
That matter. Excuses.
What's the replacement word? Reasons.
I guess. And there are good ones and bad ones. There are valid ones and ones that are not valid, I think. I think, you know what I mean? Like, should the Niners be 3-4? Of course not. Of course not.
But they are.
Right. But injuries, for example, injuries are not something that I would look to and say, well, that's why you're 3-4. Like, that's why you lost to the Rams and Cardinals. No, you lost to the Rams and Cardinals because you puked on yourself in the fourth quarter. You puked on yourself. And that happens sometimes. Teams puke on themselves. Niners have done it twice. That's annoying. Now, the Niners are X in the red zone. Now, that's when I can go, I think injuries are playing a role there. It's not the whole thing. So the Niners, like, how effective are they right now? Injuries are hurting them. But you don't get to use that every. It's not a catch-all. Especially since it feels like, if you've got a fantasy team, you damn well know it feels like everybody's hurt. It feels like everybody's hurt this season. So, yeah, but too much of, like, man, it feels sometimes like you can't even talk about a game anymore without everyone screaming the word excuses. Nobody needs. I'm not on the team. You're not on the team. I don't need an excuse. Like, there's no attachment there. Like,
right. To me, there are no excuses.
Okay.
None. Unless you want to talk about losing your quarterback.
I don't even want to use it as that, though. Like, there are reasons that things happen.
Sure. There are reasons, yeah. But as a head coach and as a team, your job is to account for those reasons. Whether or not they're excuses or not, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is, your job is to go out there and win the game.
Yeah.
And you didn't against Arizona, and you didn't against the Rams, and Kansas City was better than you, and so was Minnesota, so fine. Whatever it is, you go out against Dallas at home, a Dallas team coming off a bye, yes, but a team that cannot run the ball, can't really stop the run, and they have one real weapon on offense in the passing game. For me, there are no reasons why you shouldn't win this game. Outside of your special teams, again, being a major, major problem, and you give up a kick return or a punt return or whatever happens, that could be a factor as to why you lose the game. But you could use excuses or reasons, whatever you want to use. This is a game that you should win.
Agreed. I didn't even know this. Did you know that this thing opened at 6 and it's down to 4?
Right. Yeah.
Why?
Probably because of injuries, you know?
Cowboys have them too.
Right.
Micah Parsons is out.
Yeah, maybe it's the money coming in on a team coming off a bye. Mm. And I was looking at the stats for teams against the spread with a rest advantage, which Dallas is going to come in. And those teams have a losing record this year.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking at 14 and 18 teams with a rest advantage. Now, that could be one day, that could be 7 days, it could be 8 days, whatever it is, but teams with a rest advantage have a losing record against the spread, including Tennessee 0-3. Well, Philadelphia 0-2.
Tennessee's another one of those teams that doesn't really have a whole lot to offer.
Miami 0-2. New England 0-2. But this is against the spread. So
right. I understand that. I understand that.
Tennessee's probably getting a lot of points in these games.
Yeah. You mentioned three teams that honestly cannot score touchdowns. They just can't even score touchdowns.
Arizona 0-1.
Yeah.
Rams 0-1.
Interesting.
Et cetera.
Yeah. But interesting. I think that number's low. The 49ers, again, this is not about who is outperforming who. This is not about who's hurt. If you want to dive deeper into actual matchups that will be happening on the field in this game, linemen versus linemen, linebackers versus run game, the Cowboys just, good Lord, as much as I hate it, I have to accept your phraseology of no excuses. I can't even think of a way that the 49ers get outplayed in this game, which is why I'm saying what I'm saying. If they lose this game, it is like, it's like your iPhone is right next to your ear. And it'll sound like my house in the morning. I would love if anybody's got an idea of what to do with kids who don't wake up to their alarm. It doesn't work. They're fine. It's like my mom did this one time when I was a kid, not on purpose. She was very concerned, though, because I'm a very deep sleeper. But I also am one of those people that when you go to bed, like I'll just say in my mind, I want to be up at...
Yeah, exactly.
And you are. Yep. I'm just up.
Yep.
But I was a very deep sleeper as a kid, and one time the battery went out on the smoke alarm. And the smoke alarm's right outside my room. And so it starts going off. And my parents come flying into the hallway. My sister down the hall, flying out. Everyone's like, what the hell's going on? And they're like, wait a minute. Where's Mark?
Asleep, yeah.
No problem.
Right?
No problem. I'll sleep through anything.
Yeah.
You know me on an airplane. Sometimes I don't make it to takeoff. But what do you do with these kids? The alarm doesn't wake them up. They just, you can sit there for 20 minutes. But that's what it's going to sound like in my head if the Niners lose this football game.
You know what I would do? I would be the alarm. And it would be two hands on the shoulders wake them up, wake them up.
That's eventually what ends up happening.
Yes, of course.
But I'd like to not do that. I got to go down the stairs.
I get that. It's, it's a little uncomfortable.
Like
but
someday they're not going to live with me, Dibs, and they need to wake up. You can't just sleep through life.
And at that point, they're going to have to be adults. And I just talked to my 21-year-old earlier on the walk to work, and today he decided he didn't want to get up and go to class. And it's like, you know what? You're a senior. You can do that. But when you're 17, no, you get the daddy wake up. You're going to wake up.
You know what we're going to do to wake you all up? We're going to bring to you a former 49er quarterback who, like a Greg Cosell, like a Brian Baldinger, is now making money by grinding film. And he did a one-hour dive on the Niners versus the Chiefs, Brock Purdy's performance, Kyle Shanahan's play calls. Oh my goodness, we got to talk it out with him because he's got a lot of thoughts on what's going on with this football team. I'm, of course, talking about none other than JT O'Sullivan, and he will join us next. We're sponsored by Safeway. We'd love your calls. What's your anxiety level at right now? The Dodgers are in the World Series. The Cowboys are on a plane coming to town. Let's talk it out. 888-957-9570. It's Willard and Dibs.
Head to Safeway this week for this digital deal and more for members. Signature Select Pizza or DiGiorno.
Now, back to
Will and Divvy
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, looking forward to this conversation. And I know it's Friday and we're looking ahead. The Cowboys are coming to town. However, I think we've gotten to a point where maybe we can start looking back at the Chiefs game without the emotional sort of like reaction to it, because I think you do hope that the Niners learn something from that, and I think there are still a lot of questions about what exactly led to a performance like that. We're going to talk it out with our next guest who's played the game. He's played it for the Niners. You know him, of course. That's JT O'Sullivan joining us on the River Islands guest line. Hey, JT, what's cooking, man?
Willard Dibbs, what's up, man? Happy Friday.
To you as well, man. So we're bebopping through your breakdown, which is beefy, man. That's a beefy breakdown of the Chiefs and Niners that you did.
You know, I'm not sure it's a good sign that a lot of my videos are getting longer and longer. It just makes me feel like I'm getting older and angrier.
Join the club.
Yeah, that does happen. That does happen. But yeah, your reaction to a lot of what took place, I found interesting. Look, Brandon Ayuk's out for the year, but based on what you've seen on film, what has been going on this year in terms of Brandon and Brock being on the same page?
Well, I mean, I feel like it got off to a rocky start, right? You don't get the time that you would normally get in camp. You have some struggles early on. You have some drops. You know, you're missing a handful of the Avengers. It never feels like you quite got the entire cast there. So you're always – it just felt like there were always maybe some spots in the past that were kind of able to overcome because of personnel. Those blind spots now become a little bit more exposed, a little bit more obvious when, you know, there aren't quite as many weapons and things aren't going quite as clean as they have been kind of on schedule in the past few years. And so certain things that I think have been issues over the last few years are now just more aware more often because they're, you know, playing from behind, having to drop back and throw it, having to get exposed, having to get away from things that have been great in the past are just a little bit tougher now.
And how much of that, having different personnel, affects the quarterback's timing? And I'm thinking about the second interception to Ronnie Bell, where they clearly weren't on the same page. As a quarterback, does that make you a little bit more tentative when you don't have your usual guys out there?
Hell yeah. Yeah, I mean, especially when your usual guys are really, really good. And so, yeah, absolutely. It's going to, you know, just the overall feel from being in the huddle when, you know, you've got a handful of Pro Bowlers, all pro elite guys in the huddle, so now all of a sudden you're missing a few pieces. Now the course of the game, you're missing even more pieces. Now you've got to deal with an injury in real time. And so those things get magnified, compound, and you know, the output is usually a performance like that where there are throws where you're like, there's no way we're missing that throw by that many yards. There's obviously some sort of disconnect between communication, expectation, attention to detail, all of the above.
JT O'Sullivan with us, Willard and Dibbs. Few times you noted, JT, that Brock Purdy's footwork looked off. A, could you explain that to our audience? And B, is that something that you see often with him or just in this game?
No, I mean, I personally would say that I really like Brock's footwork. And what I mean by that to me is his consistency of his lower half, his base, his ability to get the ball off quickly, play on time, on rhythm. There's very little wasted movement. It felt like things felt a little bit sped up for him. He's had a little bit more what I would consider wasted movement where our feet quite aren't where they're supposed to be. Now, maybe, and some of that is certainly due to pressure and or hots or protections, and that's a whole different conversation probably. But the idea of just being comfortable and being decisive, you know, I think that was one of the things that was so really remarkable about Brock's kind of insurgence into this offense. He's always looked comfortable in the system. And then when you see it not look like that, you've got to start peeling back the kind of the layers and say, well, how did we get here? Obviously, we've got some personnel issues. Obviously, things are a little bit different when we aren't relying on the best running back in the game. We don't have that dynamic play pass tethered to that run game. We can't formation and motion people. We've got to drop back and throw it. You know, are we built to do that pass pro-wise? Are we built to do that scheme-wise? All those questions now start to kind of compound, and now you look a little bit more unsettled.
You mentioned hots and pressures, and it seems like they're not going to as many hots, and it feels like there's more pressure than ever. Are you looking at the scheme and seeing them maybe being too married to downfield throws as opposed to previous years?
I mean, I don't know if I would say it to that. I would say this past week, it felt like Brock was a little bit more aggressive down the field than maybe he has been in the past. And what I mean by that is it's easy to nitpick on the film when you take a shot, you don't hit it, and there's somebody else open underneath. And so that's one of those things where maybe that was the plan. Maybe they knew they needed to push the ball down the field that week. You know, there can be any number of different reasons why you would do that. I think the thing for me that has always been a concern with this unit they are so elite, so good at so many things offensively, scheme-wise, specifically run game, play action, that inner.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Immediate in-breaker route that he can throw with anticipation and timing when you can't do that. So now we have to throw it. Now we're down. You know, it's always been the question, can we come back? Can we do that consistently in the dropback game and rely on him to make all the throws, you know, to get the ball out that for the dropback game to have the answers that, quite frankly, you see many other places have that may be major in it when the 49ers probably minor in it.
JT, when Kyle Shanahan in recent years has been 3-4 or 3-5, he's been really good at making an adjustment midseason and getting things going the other way. What adjustment do you think he needs to make right now?
Well, I mean, the adjustment that's going to help a lot is when Christian McCaffrey comes back.
Right, sure.
I mean, that's going to make me feel a hell of a lot better. And it's one of those things where, yeah, and, you know, I always joke, like Captain Obvious, like, yeah, you need your best players to play at a high level, and that's what it's for. If we're taking more of the scheme-centric, you know, play-calling element of it, you know, I don't know if there's a way – I don't think there's any evidence to think that he is going to necessarily change or really – no, I don't want to say shouldn't. I think that there has been evidence in the past that – a more adaptive approach at the line of scrimmage, whether that's how the quarterback reads it, so what I would consider like a pure progression-centric offense, which I would say that they have in the passing game, versus an option where you can go up there and based on the coverage, you can dictate where the ball goes. And a little bit more flexibility at the line of scrimmage, and I think Brock has earned this opportunity to be able to have a little bit more latitude to feel like he's protected. Because when you turn on the film, and there's a disconnect between the pass pro unit and where it looks like Brock's eyes are and where his hot or sight adjust throws are, there's a disconnect there. I think those are things that there's way too many smart people on that side of the ball in that organization to have that on film. And so I feel like those are the types of things that you would be surprised if they don't get fixed. But I would have said that 3 years ago, too. And so they haven't been fixed. And to me, it's just how they play offense.
And how they play offense, is that kind of the norm in the league now, where audibles aren't really what they used to be, and now audibles are more like, you know, having another play already called in the huddle, and then you can default to that?
I mean, I probably think, you know, some of this is like a semantics conversation with the audibles thing.
Right.
Like, I don't think that there has ever been a quarterback that just has the latitude to go anywhere they want in the volume of an offense to call whatever they want. Like, people might want to cite like Peyton Manning and all the craziness he did at the line of scrimmage. But even then, I would bet that there was a menu of things. Like, guys just don't have the capacity to hold a Cheesecake Factory menu of plays and be like, I'm going to get to it with this look on the line of scrimmage. It just doesn't work that way. And so I think that there are different ways that football has adjusted for the quarterback and the pass protection unit to be able to make real-time changes at the line of scrimmage, as far as declarations, who we're going to, where we're hot, that it just looks like this offense hasn't. And so I think that they absolutely could, but it's one of those things, for whatever reason, they haven't. And when you look across the landscape of the league, you see a lot of quarterbacks at the line of scrimmage. It sure looks like they're redeclaring the protection. You know, you see guys like Caleb Williams. It's not a totally different system that he's running in Chicago. Caleb's a rookie. Caleb sure looks like he's declaring the protections for the line. And so it's one of those things where Brock doesn't have to do it all the time. And I don't think anybody in that building wants him with that kind of responsibility at the line of scrimmage. The offense is very good operating as it is, but on crucial down and distance and gotta have it moments, for him to have the flexibility, the command, and the capacity to do it, feels like you're not operating at the max capacity of the offense if you're not allowing him to grow into that.
JT O'Sullivan is with us here on Withered and Dibbs 95.7 The Game. JT, you've mentioned McCaffrey a couple times, and fans get it, right? Obviously, he's great. But Jordan Mason has done so many good things that I do think there have been games where people are like, no, it's fine. Can you sort of detail what the difference is in terms of what's at Kyle Shanahan's disposal with Christian in there instead of Mason?
Well, I mean, I would say Christian is one of the best offensive weapons in the league. Like, he can literally is a great running back, tailback in the backfield, but he also has the capacity to pass protect. He's also got the capacity to spread out and run an entire NFL wide receiver route tree. They run choices and options to him all the time. He's got the ability to run double moves down the field. He's what makes that kind of dynamic 21 personnel with Juszczyk so electric, because all those guys, when they're all healthy, can literally line up anywhere. So you can have, you know, you can have the tight end in the backfield, you can have the fullback at wide receiver, you can do all these crazy motions, and the defense doesn't know what to do. And so it makes the looks on defense have to be vanilla. When you've got a back there who's having a great time running the ball, but he's not that dynamic threat in the passing game. Maybe he has some mental errors in the pass protection world, and we get exposed. Those types of things just don't happen with a guy like Christian consistently.
And does this also affect the offense when you put in Ricky Pearsall, who's just played one game, and Jacob Cowing may have to play more this week? Does that limit what Kyle can do, knowing that he's got inexperienced wide receivers out there who maybe don't know all the nuances of his offense?
I mean, I would imagine it certainly does. It feels like over the course of the career with Shanahan in multiple stops, it's always been kind of hard. And maybe it's because I think he's a former wide receiver. The volume that he asks those guys to carry and do, and the detail that goes into playing that position there, I can think of early when Ayuk was in the program, in the organization, being frustrated with some of the usage. And so it's a lot to have all that nuance and detail at the wide receiver position when maybe you're not used to that at the college game. So to come into a robust system and be asked to do it, you're probably not going to be asked to do the full catalog of things, and that's certainly going to handcuff the entire unit. And you can see it, I mean, just this past week, I thought they did a great job attacking the middle of the field versus the Chiefs, but they did it with Kittle. You know, there just weren't that many opportunities. The opportunities for the younger guys, they turned into, you know, a disaster interception. They turned into looking like, you know, we're not quite ready for the ball on certain crossers over the middle of the field. It just looked totally disconnected from when we have, you know, Ayuk out there who's running at full speed, and they've had the full camp together and they're locked in, and this unit is rolling the ball in the run game. It just looked and feels totally different.
Yeah, JT, you said that, I mean, it's clearly one of Brock Purdy's worst performances, but that he also didn't get a lot of help. What did you mean by that? Offensive line, receivers not getting open? What did you see?
Well, I mean, I think early in the game, Ayuk had a drop on a corner. That was a perfectly thrown ball. You know, you hit a big chunk like that, all of a sudden you've got some momentum going. I feel like there were certainly issues with the pass protection where he's getting hit. You know, there was one play-action shot where they've got the guard and the tight end falling over each other. And so things like that, you're not getting any help. You've got to, if you're not operating at full capacity with your talent on the perimeter, you need everybody else to be able to not necessarily step up, but just be consistent in their job, their role, counted on. You can't have a different air at a different spot every other play. That's going to make the whole unit look like it's a dumpster fire. And that's kind of what it felt like when you look at the entirety of the game.
Yeah, and it was a bit of a struggle, especially, you know, early on where they went three and out a couple of times and then Brock threw that first pick. I want to go back to that third interception he threw when they got down to the 5-yard line. What did you see in that interception where he was pressured and he threw it into what felt like triple coverage?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there is a good excuse there for me to kind of lay out for Purdy to make sense of that. I'm not sure what he said about the play. I would imagine it's one of those things where in a situation like that, you'd rather just eat it and have the sack. It's a kind of a counterintuitive thing, actually, in the tight red zone. Because the tight red zone, meaning like the 10 and in, it's really not the end of the world to take a sack there because the field goal for these guys nowadays is so easy at that chip shot type of range. You really don't want to put the ball in harm's way. So just feeling like, and again, there were many examples of this, but feeling like he just forced it and was not necessarily out of character aggressive, because I think he's been aggressive in the past and been able to make plays and extend. I think it's one of those things where it just felt so forced all day a couple times, and that was just another example of it, and it just was way too much in that moment. You don't give yourself a chance.
JT, a lot of the people listening have an emotional attachment to the 49ers. One of the reasons I love talking to you is you can kind of take that emotion out of it. When you look at the 49ers on film right now, sure, there's the injuries, the obvious stuff, but take the emotion out of it. Do you think it's going to be okay? Like, do you think they're going to figure this out?
Well, I mean, what's okay? Like, okay, like winning the Super Bowl, or okay, like we're going to win the division, be successful in the playoffs? I absolutely think that's okay.
Okay.
Like, I think you still have one of the absolute best play callers, and proven one of the better head coaches across the league. You've got a quarterback who's proven that he can play well for the vast majority of the time. You got a lot of weapons. Hopefully many of them will be coming back healthy soon. You know, do they feel like they're at the top echelon of the league, maybe where they have been in the last few years? Not right now, but it's only October. I mean, you know, if they're playing like this at the end of December, then it probably will be me a little bit more nervous. But, man, I still think it's one of the best systems, one of the best offensive rosters huddles when they're fully healthy. They just have to get there.
I agree with you, but when I watch the games, and I never played in the NFL, I tried but didn't make it out of flag football as a 9-year-old, but do you see defenses that have maybe caught on to or caught up with the Kyle Shanahan system?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I would say defenses. I feel like, right, like the beautiful thing about the NFL is it's so reactionary, right? We've got all this time between games. Well, when you're talking about the Chiefs, you're talking about one of the best defensive coordinators. You're talking about some very good coverage guys, some very, what I would call, elite, sticky, multiple looks on the back end kind of unit. And they've got a great player in Chris Jones that is a disruptor, a game wrecker at the line of scrimmage. So from that standpoint, has that unit caught up to him? You know, absolutely. There were reps in that game where it looked like Spags and company knew what was coming before the 49ers snapped the ball. As far as different leverage that looked like it was unexpected, where, you know, they're trying to run in and the defender's inside leverage and they've got no chance. Stuff like that, to me, feels like you got schemed up a little bit. But do I think the entire league has the capacity to do that? No way.
JT, great stuff, man. Thank you so much for spending some time with us.
No problem, guys. Have a good one.
Okay. JT O'Sullivan here on Willard and Dibbs.
The QB school on YouTube. QB,
it's really good. It's really good. Yeah, it's really good. And I encourage you all to go check it out. I'm not kidding. It's an hour. It's an hour.
On Brock.
On that game.
Brock Purdy.
It's an hour.
Yeah.
It's almost as long as the game.
Yeah, exactly.
It kind of is, because if you take out the commercials, that's the game.
That's
it's
right.
An hour.
And he broke it all
and
down.
He went through all of it. And so what I love about that is sort of the messaging that you get that I think is hard for us in the sports media world, because, A, context goes to die. B, nobody's got time to go through every play, every player. C, nobody even really knows who linemen are in the NFL, all that stuff. But you can hear it when JT's saying it. There's a lot of stuff that goes into why the 49ers have struggled. And a lot of us can't really get past, I feel like, well, there's Brock, and then there's Kyle. And are they doing good, or are they doing bad? And then there's that. And there's no question that they were bad. They were bad last week.
Both of them.
But there's a lot of crap going on, man. There's a lot of stuff going on out there. And there are a lot of struggles going on in a lot of different places. So what I loved best about both what he said and the breakdown that he put together, yes, that was one of Brock Purdy's worst performances ever. Probably his worst performance ever. Also true, he had no help. Nothing was working out there.
Right.
Guys were getting hurt. Routes were not being run. Nobody was getting open. The protection was bad.
They couldn't run it.
Shanahan got schooled by Spagnuolo on a lot of plays.
Yep.
It was all bad, and that's what it looks like. And by the way, they're still down by two with the ball in the second half. So they had a chance with all that going on. They had a chance to save it.
Yep.
And then Brock made, quite frankly, maybe the worst throw of his career, considering that, like, he wasn't under pressure. It was just an out. I mean, he missed a 15-yard throw by 10 yards.
Yeah. Complete airmail job. Not even close. And even if Ronnie Bell didn't run the route that he thought that he would run, still, that would have been a yard high, and maybe Ronnie Bell goes up and tips it and doesn't catch it.
Right.
And you think, oh, boy, you know, airmail. Whose fault was it? We'll break it down tomorrow. But that thing was way over his head, and it was an easy pick. And then the next pick might have been actually worse than the previous pick because it happened at the 5-yard line.
Timing-wise, yes.
Right.
Although the Ronnie Bell one, you have an opportunity to take the lead.
Of course.
The one in the end zone, you have an opportunity to get closer.
Sure, but there's still so much time left
where you
score there and you're back in the game and you're at the 5-yard line. So even if you don't get the touchdown, you get the 3, and now you're only down by 6, and it's a 1-score game again. So, yeah, we can pick between the two, and much like who your favorite kid is, and I know deep down you have a favorite, as do I, of my 3.
But it changes every day.
Every single hour, quite frankly. No doubt. But, and you could look at Brock's picks, like which of the 3 was the worst? Well, you can pick between them like you're picking between your kids. And I do like what he said about last week versus this week, because this week has nothing to do with last week.
Correct.
And, you know, this week is new game, new slate, new defense, new defensive coordinator, new personnel on the field, new everything. And so if you're Brock, you have already flushed that one a long time ago.
Here's the difference between the two. Last week, what's hard, I think, for a 49er fan is you have to admit that the Chiefs are better. And people have not been wanting to do that, you know, because you look at and the Super Bowl 5 years ago, I'm like, that's 5 years ago. But you go back to February, and I certainly thought the 49ers were the better team. They were favored. They were ahead. They were all this, that, the other. And then you go, oh, but Mahomes, right? Just such an equalizer. And you give him the ball in the end, and he's going to do Mahomes things. And he did. But it's easy to be like, the Niners are right there. And then last week happens, and you're like, they're not right there. Even though traumatic injuries within the game.
Well, and you were right there. You just said it. You were down 14-12 driving with the ball.
But you got beat. You got beat, beat.
You did.
You got beat. It wasn't, but if you got beat. And
doesn't really matter.
That's sort of, it's painful. You don't want to feel like the Chiefs are better. And right now, at least, they are. The difference between that and this, and again, I know what it sounds like because the Niners are 3-4, and I love the 49ers. So you can wrap it up in that if you want. I've watched a lot of Cowboy football.
Yeah, me too.
A lot of it. They're so, so ordinary. They don't do anything well. They are
Kurt Warner.
They're impressive. Never. Never. There's not one thing where you're like, oh, okay. That's what they're offering their opponents. And so if they lose this one, Last week you lose it, you go, oh, I got to admit something I don't want to admit. This week you lose, we got a problem. We had a huge problem.
Well, depends on how it goes, because you could lose it for one specific reason, and then you could address that and realize that that's the problem, or you could lose the way you lost to Kansas City, which was their special teams were better, their offense was better, their defense was better, they beat you in all three phases. If you lose this game because of one phase, and I'm looking at special teams as that phase, well, then you could address that and say, yeah, okay, we lost 24-23 because we don't have a kicker, and we can't cover kicks, and we can't kick off, and we can't cover punts, yeah. Then maybe you could address it, and it'd be different than losing it in all three phases.
We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Anxiety check going into this one. The Dodgers host the World Series, and the Cowboys are on a plane. 888-957-9570 is the number. I do think also it'd be fun. Like, can we have just a rational conversation about what happened in the end zone last night?
Of course.
Let's do this. Yeah. Coming up next on Withered and Dibs.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.